Hello, thank you for joining the Camden First Assembly broadcast. We are so excited to share the Word of God with you today, believing that this Word is exactly what He has for your life. So, stay tuned for today's message, and as always, remember, there's a place for you at Camden First Assembly.
Because of what Jesus accomplished on the cross through His death and through His resurrection. And now we have the power to be the witnesses that He's called us to be in this world. So when we face struggles and we face battles and we face situations, the reason that the Lord dropped the word that He did on Haley's heart today was because God says, remember who you are. Remember who I've called you to be. Remember that the struggles that you're up against and the challenges that you're facing, they aren't about you. They're about me. They're about the enemy's attempts to steal, kill, and destroy. But I have come that you may have life and life more abundantly, so that in every situation and in every circumstance, you will be reminded that you are my child, that you are working and you are ministering and you are moving and you are fulfilling my will and my plan for your life. And my plan and my will for your life is good. So when you face trials and tribulations, remember what I said in John 16:33, in this world, you will face many trials, but take heart because I've overcome the world. He's already won the battle. The victory has already been won. So when the enemy comes in as the deceiver that he is, when the enemy comes in with his lies and his deceptions and he tells you that you and I aren't qualified, that you and I aren't good enough, that our situation and our circumstance is just too impossible, that there's just no way that God has any interest or care or concern, he is doing what he does as the father of lies, and he's trying to deceive you and I from the identity that we have in Christ. Because when we said yes to Jesus, the old was crucified just like Christ's body and the new was born. So the Spirit of God, the same Spirit that raised Him from the dead, was given to us. And it's why God calls us to walk in the anointing and the authority and the power that He's given us, not as this world does, not conforming to the patterns of this world, not responding the way the rest of the world does, not taking our situations and our circumstances and saying, like Haley said earlier, it is what it is, but to say, it may be what it is, but God's not done, He's not finished, and He's not through. What does the Word of God say? What does God's Word say about my situation? And what does God's Word say about my circumstance? Because I'm here to tell you today, when the church of the living God wakes up, when the church of the living God steps into the freedom that God has given us as the body of Christ and says there is nothing in this world and there is nothing out of this world that can separate me from His love, from His goodness, from His blessings, from His favor, from His protection, from His healing, from His deliverance. It changes the way I pray because I no longer walk with my head down. I no longer walk in the defeat and the discouragement and the lies and the delusion that the enemy has given me, but I look at my situations and I look at my circumstances and I look at my problems and all the things, and while the world says it is what it is, my spirit says it is what He says it is, and what He says it is different than what it is. So I'm going to pray and I'm going to fast and I'm going to decree and I'm going to declare and I'm going to fight, not the way the world does, but the way that God has called me to. Woo! In the freedom that God has given, in the anointing and the spirit that God has given, no longer walking in the disappointment and the discouragement and the delusions and in the spirit of defeat. So what the Holy Spirit told me, He said the spirit of defeat gives way to a spirit of apathy. The spirit of defeat gives way to a spirit of apathy. If we walk in a spirit of defeat for long enough, we will begin walking in a spirit of apathy. And the problem with walking in a spirit of apathy is that we are asleep. We are passive on what God has said and what God has spoken and what God has decreed and what God has declared in our lives. And one of the biggest things that the enemy tries to do in the church is to get us to a place of defeat so that he can get us to a place of being asleep, so that we're no longer fulfilling the law and the will and the plan of God. Because when the church wakes up, when the body of Christ steps out of the disappointment, when the body of Christ steps out of the place of defeat, when the body of Christ becomes alert and fully aware again of who we are and who God has called us to be and what He's purposed for us, when we begin praying, when we begin walking out what God has spoken in our hearts, when we begin believing, not looking at these things and saying, well, it is what it is, but saying, this is what God's Word says it is, there's a shift and there's a change that happens in our lives. It's the moment that the supernatural things of God become manifest in our lives, because we're no longer walking in the defeat. We're no longer walking in the apathy, but we're walking in the supernatural power that God has given us to be who God has called us to be, to look at the situations and the circumstances of our life and say, this is what God says. I heard what the doctor said, but this is what God says. I heard what my child said, but this is what God says. I heard what the news said, but this is what God says. I know there's a whole mess that's being fought out in the courts right now, but this is what God says. I know that they say that this is what my future should be, but this is what God says. My God is a redeemer. My God is a fulfiller of His word, of His plan, and His promises. He takes what the enemy's intended for evil, and He turns and He uses it for His good and for His glory. So who am I, and who are you, and who is the rest of the world to try to define what it is that God is wanting to do in this hour, what God is wanting to do in this season, what God is wanting to do in this moment? As a church, we cannot allow the world or our present situations or circumstances to define for us what it is. Only the Word of God, only the revelation from the Holy Spirit. The biggest battle of that will happen in our minds. It's the place where the enemy does his greatest work to usher in deception, to usher in lies, to do whatever he can to try to defeat us, to get us to buy into the spirit of defeat, of hopelessness and despair. But Philippians chapter 2, I love this. Philippians chapter 2, verse number 5 says, your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. At the name of Jesus, every knee must bow. At the name of Jesus, every spirit must leave. It's the reason why when we prayed for you this morning, if you came down, that we said, in the name of Jesus, we bind the spirit of defeat, of disappointment and despair. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 6 through 16. I don't have time to read it right now because I'm supposed to pray and we're supposed to worship. But verse number 16 says this, for who has known the mind of the Lord as to instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. You know, I started off the beginning of this year with Romans chapter 12, verses 1 through 2, and we talked about not conforming to the pattern of this world, but being transformed by the renewing of our minds. Why? Because the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead now dwells in us, and we now have the mind of Christ. So every day, my mind is still in the process. It's still in transition. Tell your neighbor, I'm a work in progress. Tell your neighbor, I'm a work in progress. I got news for you. Ain't nobody here perfect. Ain't nobody here perfect. Tell your neighbor, you aren't perfect. Tell your neighbor, I'm not perfect. Nobody is perfect. None. There's only one who ever was, and we won't be until we're there with him, and only because of what he's done. So daily, my mind is being renewed because I'm going from an old way of thinking, an old way of perceiving that ultimately affects my believing, to having the mind of Christ. So it's why every day I'm in the Word, and every day I'm in prayer, and every day I'm in worship, because God is literally transforming the way that I think. So instead of having the world's perspective and point of view, I have the Lord's. And when I have the mind of Christ, I look at my problems and my situations. I look at the things that are facing the people that I love and that I care about the most. And instead of being overwhelmed with disappointment and discouragement and fear and doubt and unbelief, I am filled with hope, and I am filled with peace, and I am filled with joy, because I serve a God whom with all things are possible. And I now have heaven's perspective on the situation. And so it changes the way that I respond, and it changes the way that I react, even in the hardest of circumstances, because we have the mind of Christ.